This is the commission meeting of Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. We're going to have an abbreviated meeting. We're going to approve a resolution extending the city manager's emergency matters, assuming my colleagues are so inclined. And we're going to approve a consent agenda excluding separated items. Separated items will be deferred until the April 22nd, 2020 commission meeting. With this time, I'd ask, I can't believe this, Eric Chacolas to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Yes, you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Eric. Okay, first announcements from the clerk.
Mayor, I just wanted to announce for those of us, for those that are watching, that this meeting has lawfully been called. We have two commissioners appearing remotely due to the extraordinary circumstances caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, and we have five commissioners that are here physically present. Therefore, we have a quorum, and you can take any action that you deem today, including voting on any matter.
Okay, thank you. First of all, we'll get to the consent agenda and the item on the issue. I just want to do a couple quick things. Can you hear us, Commissioners Richardson and Steinberg?
Yes, Mayor. Thank you very much. I'm here. This is David Richardson.
Yes, Mickey's here.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Steinberg. What we're going to do today is we're going to get a report from Jimmy about a whole bunch of things. We're going to talk a little about where we are, but I did want to say one thing. I saw that there had been a notice that this meeting was actually closed, and that I assume was a mistake.
That was an error. The meeting is open to the public. I think communications tried to err on the side of caution, but your advisory, I think, corrected that and advised that this is a public meeting held under the Sunshine Law.
Yeah, and just so my colleagues know, community, we have meetings every day in the morning where we are on the phone with the manager and his direct reports, going over the various things that are going on to sort of talk to him a little bit about what he's doing, give him a sense of what we think he needs to address and to hear what he's thinking about. So we've been doing that every single day. But one thing that I think is important is sort of people have asked about the operation of government and how we're going to do things. We are going to try to avoid any of these meetings. The reason why this meeting is so short is, frankly, we didn't think that we should be inviting the public in to have public debates about matters they care about in the middle of this, or at least right now. So all of the items that were on the agenda were moved to the next meeting, and that was a joint sort of acclamation almost by all of us. We all sort of recognized that it wouldn't be fair to the public to put something on an agenda that they didn't feel like coming here to speak about. So we're going to try to follow that as well. I know Jimmy's going to talk about sort of our footing going forward and how government will be operating, but our land use committee meetings were canceled, so because those must be done in person. But our committee meetings, our commission committee meetings, they may occur telephonically. I think we're trying to figure out exactly how we can do that in a way that accommodates robust debate and discussion and involvement. Another thing I'd like to say overall is to everybody, thank you all. And I mean that. This commission, we're in a very unique position. When the CDC sends out its rules, when the governor sends out his advice and rules, he's really directing it to everybody. And we are a hospitality center. So the things that happen here are far different than the things that happen anywhere else in the country, other than perhaps a few other destinations. And so the reason why, the reason why the county mayor and the governor have been looking what our team is doing is because they recognize to a certain extent that we are the tip of the hospitality spear of this state, which means we're also the tip of the challenges of this virus as well. And that has put us in a very interesting position. I want to say to Jimmy and all of the staff that are here, to a great extent, the work you're doing is obviously being replicated across the state. It's not just because we're more interested in doing things. It's because we actually feel it more acutely. We see it more vividly the challenges of creating social distance in a community that was built literally to not have social distance is very hard. But we're doing our best, and I am very grateful to all of the staff and all of the commissioners, because the public doesn't see the work that they do, and they and their staff are working very hard to make sure that all the incarnations of what we're doing are implemented, that the unintended consequences are avoided, and that the safety of the public is paramount, and we still appreciate who we are as a community, and we keep that as we go through these difficult times. So I really want to thank everybody for that. Jimmy, why don't we begin? Why don't you give us a pretty good, fulsome report of sort of what's going on and go from there.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I think my guess is there's a lot of folks who are staying home today and are probably watching because they've had much else to do. So I do want to point out, you mentioned every day, as you know, we have an 8 a.m. internal call for staff, and then we gather on the phone with Mayor and Commissioners and their staff at 8:45 to consult, to provide guidance, and to report on what's happening. And as you know, over the last few days, it's been a very fast-moving pace because in many respects, and I think the public needs to understand this, we're reacting to what's coming out of Tallahassee and Washington. And literally 6 days ago, the CDC advice was no crowds no bigger than 250. Then they went to 50, and now they're at 10. So we've had to continue to adjust what we're doing. And to some degree, and I said this on the call yesterday, and I'll say it publicly, you all have led. You all were the first city in the state of Florida last Friday to implement some changes and some stricter measures. Fort Lauderdale responded, and on Sunday you all with Fort Lauderdale led again. And then I think what happened yesterday really was a culmination of all that. So I congratulate you all for making hard decisions to try to stem the tide on this stuff. Two quick updates from yesterday, which are public knowledge, so I'm not saying anything that folks may already know, but I want to make sure they do. Number one, the governor yesterday did close the schools, public schools, for 30 days. So even though school superintendent Carvalho had said 2 weeks, the governor has now said 4 weeks. So as we know, that sort of dictates how society functions. And now we're at least on a 4-week timetable. As you know, the CDC is telling people to not be in groups of larger than 10 for the next 8 weeks. So that's certainly their timetable. So just to set expectations, this is not a matter of days or even a couple weeks that we're looking at here. The other thing is the counts keep growing up. We went from 32 cases in Dade County yesterday down to 43. And a lot of that is because there's more testing, private testing. And while we don't know officially about any cases on Miami Beach, there are a lot of rumors out there. And my guess is that as private testing continues, the Department of Health will begin to report to us potentially some cases on Miami Beach. The data they put out daily just says the county. It doesn't necessarily say the city. I'm hoping, and we talk to the Department of Health every day, that they'll let us know if it's anybody here. I do want to address one issue before I talk a little bit more about communications. And I did this yesterday in an email, but I want to reassure folks. We do have one employee who tested positive, but as I reported yesterday, this individual had been on vacation overseas, came back from the vacation, self-quarantined, tested positive while on self-quarantine, has continued to be self-quarantined, has never come to work during that time, so there's no exposure here at City Hall or elsewhere in the city. The individual actually did exactly what we asked them to do in accordance with our guidelines, and so we wanted to calm any fears that the community might have or that our employees might have. That individual has been self-quarantined since coming back from vacation.
So there have been no interactions with
the public? No interactions other than in his own household, I guess. But no interactions with the city, residents, customers, or employees. We are communicating daily with our residents. Every day we put out a business report showing the latest changes. I think some of the confusion that is out there is, number one, the governor has issued some things, the county has issued some things, we've issued some things, they're not always necessarily consistent. So, for example, at the end of the day yesterday, we put out a more detailed report to them towards summarizing all those and how they impact our local businesses. We communicate to our residents through various means, trying to get the message of where we are. Today's probably the first day that we probably will have no change because I'm not sure what else is left to do at this point. Unless we have to get to the point like San Francisco did or New York is considering, which is sheltering in place. I don't think we're there yet. But at this point, to the extent any folks out there don't know, at this point now in the city of Miami Beach and across the county, actually, all restaurants, bars, clubs, any other similar establishment, entertainment establishments, amusement establishments are closed 24/7. Restaurants, kitchens at restaurants or hotels can remain open on Miami Beach till midnight for takeout or delivery. And so that obviously is a significant major shutdown, but necessary. We know that hotels are, I mean, I've heard from three major properties that their occupancy rates are in the 20%, 25%, and they're considering whether they even should remain open at this point. I mean, the market to some degree now is going to dictate more than government. People stop traveling, people start self-quarantining. My guess is the market and business forces will be more influential on what's open or not open than even government dictates or decrees. Alina, do you want to provide an update on a couple of issues that I know keep coming up and that are of concern to the commissioners?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. And again, I want to thank you, all of you, for your courage. It takes a lot of courage to make the types of decisions that are being made on Miami Beach. Last night, you should have received from us an LTC that summarizes in great detail the many things that we discuss on a daily basis and provides you with updates. We made sure that in that LTC, as well as in all the email blasts that are being provided to the business community, as well as to our residents, and I actually printed them just for visuals. We've tried to make sure that there's a differentiation so online people can see the difference between, and they don't think it's the same update that's going out on a daily basis. We've done everything we can to clarify what appears to be on the surface conflicting emergency declarations, but are in fact not at all times. They're actually complementary of each other, and they build on each other. So we spent a lot of time by the end of the day yesterday working on that clarification. Thank you to our county attorney, our city attorney, for helping us with that clarification. And I do want to say and say thank you to the clerk as well, because yesterday we did pull off a presidential primary in Miami-Dade County, and that in and of itself was a feat to be able to do that with many polling places in the city of Miami Beach. In terms of transportation, which is something that obviously we're all worried about and making sure that people who need public transportation have the ability to do that, we continue to have high ridership on our trolley system, and we continue to do all and take all the sanitation measures that we've informed you of. Again, multiple cleaning cycles. We have, in fact, run out of wipes, sanitary wipes, and we are awaiting orders. As we mentioned yesterday, we're promised by our vendors that we're going to receive them, and yesterday we did not receive what we were expecting. We're hopeful today that that will happen. Our Housing and Community Affairs Department is very actively engaged with the elderly community, as well as with the county and the emergency management process in Miami-Dade County to make sure they're constantly communicating. Yesterday, they were on a call relative to our homeless population and options that are being discussed and reviewed for that. No great solutions to this at this moment, but those conversations continue. We are, I think, good for this week in terms of home food delivery, and Maria is very proactive in terms of preparing for next week and any eventuality that might change next week. We are prepared to support her in whatever way we need to if we need to do additional direct meal delivery. In terms of, there's a lot of conversation about these drive-through testing sites, and I can tell you that the manager and I personally have been on every call that we can possibly think to be with every public health person in this community. Not only are we talking to Jackson Memorial Hospital, but we're also talking to the Florida Department of Health. We have spoken, many of you will remember Dr. Lillian Rivera, who was the director of the Florida Department of Health during the time that we dealt with Zika. Lillian has been hired to come back into the community. She had retired, and she's been hired to work with the Florida Department of Health and ACA and the governor's office and the Public Health Trust to further develop the testing sites that will be somehow implemented in Miami-Dade County. It was breaking news late yesterday that we saw where down south there is a site that is being established. I need to do some homework this morning to see whether that is part of what was described to me as a network of four sites in our community, or how that in fact is being implemented. And we have several calls to make this morning to follow up on opportunities that might be available on the beach. That completes my update. There's a lot of detailed information that is in your LTC, and we've made sure to attach for you hard copies of the e-blast that is going out on a daily basis to our residents, as well as the e-blast that's going out to our businesses. And there are multiple members of our senior staff that are point to some of these issues. I mean, one of my colleagues is obviously leading the communications with the business community, and several of our directors are involved in that. The public safety aspect, I think all of you certainly are aware of what our police and fire department are doing and the outstanding work that they continue to do.
Mayor, a couple other things. I think now, and I don't know if Eric Carpenter is here, we have a daily 4 o'clock call with the industry. I think it started on Monday, and Eric is exercising proper social distance, and we're having a daily 4 o'clock call with the industry to provide them information firsthand, to get input from them. So that process is there. You know, you all had expressed a concern, and I appreciate it, actually, and our employees appreciate it, making sure that, obviously, we have continuity of operation. Every department submitted a plan that we have worked on so that we can continue. Some examples of some of the things that we're doing. I think I shared with you an email yesterday. The fire department is actually, Virgil Fernandez, chief, has created a separate COVID unit that responds to any of those calls so that that we don't have everybody in the city being potentially exposed and just that one unit. Our PSCU, 911, we've actually split them in half. Half of them are working at the main headquarters at police. The other half are in the backup center at EOC. So that at least, God forbid something happens, we always at least have half of them available. Even at the senior management level, we've created an A and B shifts so that on any up starting really tomorrow, half of the management will be working from home so that we have, even at the senior level, continuity of operation. Obviously, there are some departments that have to, that are work in the field, that working from home is not a possibility. But even there, I know, for example, Chief Clements, at least probably being chief among those, in terms of departments that it's hard to work in the field, they have identified those members of their team that could work, you know, civilians and others, and then obviously they're trying to do staffing and shifts in a way that will try to limit exposure. Candidly, the closure of the city helps a lot, obviously, reduces demand for things like overtime, off-duty, et cetera. So that is helpful in that process. So we do have those plans in place. We are, Mr. Mayor, you mentioned the ability to have meetings telephonically. We are continue to work on that. Right now, all land use board meetings have been canceled for a month. I believe the next scheduled meeting is a March 31st.
March 31st
is the last committee meeting.
The land use committee was rescheduled for March 31st.
Right. So we certainly feel we'll be well in advance of that, ready to do those meetings telephonically. And obviously, depending on how long this lasts, that may be how we have to do business for an extended period of time. But we'll be in that position. And, you know, we're exploring, as you know, we've told all advisory boards that if they meet, we're going to do it all telephonically. We've communicated to HOAs and other community groups that we'll participate telephonically or in writing at their meetings. And most of them are actually either canceling meetings or engaging responsible social distancing. We are, our customer service center is open longer hours telephonically and online, but in person from 10 to 2, trying to, again, limit for those people who feel they need to come in.
What is the policy with regard to sort of at-home or remote work? Almost all businesses are now grappling with that.
Every department was asked, and Monday provided, those employees they feel can work from home. All employees that could work from home, and those are now, by and large, working from home. Some departments, it's easy. The GOB department, for example, they can all pretty much work from home because they're mostly, they're not out in the field on a daily basis. Some departments is a little more challenging, and some folks are being repurposed. You know, with our parks essentially facilities closed and no programming, you know, we're figuring out how to constructively use some of our park staff because they can't work from home. Our full-time staff. Our part-time staff, we've had to not assign for a period of time because there's nothing for them to do. But our full-time staff, we're trying to use for constructive stuff, whether it's delivering meals, whether it's doing assessments of parks, whether it's sanitizing our facilities. So we're trying to, make use of the hands that we can.
Procedurally, though, Mr. Mayor, yeah. Procedurally, there are procedures for everyone that is working at home, and that assessment that was made was validated and verified by our directors and discussed with the assistant city managers and with the managers. So those determinations were made collectively, and in fact, there are procedures in place, and there are technology limitations, but every effort was made to make the technology available. So I don't want anybody to leave here with the impression that, you know, people are working from home and there is a procedure. There is something that everyone has to sign. There are specific meetings that take place at certain times, and there's a validation of the work that's being done at home.
So one thing I was going to recommend to my colleagues is that, you know, look, obviously we're getting a footing in this new normal. But at some point, we really have to figure out how we provide services in a way that is more meaningful. Right now, it's very hard to do much because we're reacting to setting this whole apparatus up with a new slant, so to speak. So for the committees, since you can operate telephonically and since we will have the technology, I guess you believe,
yes,
perfected in a way that it's not counterproductive to have the meeting, and it's robust participation from the public online or on telephonically. The chairman of the committees, and actually, I don't know, if for purposes of setting an agenda up, not voting, but just having items on the agenda, can commissioners talk to each other about what they want on an agenda?
No.
Okay. So then it's only the commission, only the chair can, or can a commissioner send something to the clerk publicly saying, in other words, we have a lot of items that have been referred. And one of the problems is every time you put something on an agenda, that means a whole bunch of staff are going to jump to prepare it for that meeting. And you may not want it. You may not want it on that agenda if you know the result it's going to have in terms of bringing staff who might be working at home in and things like that. So all I would say is,
Mayor, your question is, can a committee chairman contact the committee liaison to say, I want this on this meeting,
yeah,
I want to defer this? Yes, I would say that's ministerial.
Okay.
So that can be done.
Okay. And so I guess the point is, I would just say, look, at some point it would be nice if it felt a little bit more normal in terms of how government operated. People may have items on your committees that are important to business and homes that need certain things done, things like that. So I leave it up to you all to decide what you want to put on the agenda. But I would ask that you work with the staff, because I think one of the things probably Jimmy is thinking about is, if there's a 30 measure agenda in one of the committees, then you're going to have an issue with all of your staff coming in to prepare for that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, some of that work could happen remote because, you know, they can draft memos from their home, they can do things like that. The meeting itself, probably you want staff here to make presentations. So, but we'll adjust. I mean,
and by the way,
we'll adjust.
And I guess so. My point is, don't assume they can't do it. Just make sure you go through the due diligence of figuring out which items make the most sense, which we really need to do, and which we can do without any kind of dislocation to the process. Given
right.
This
so
new normal.
We're delegating this. Just so you're all clear, I know you've been contacting me with regard to what you can and can't do under these extraordinary circumstances vis-a-vis the Sunshine Law, and keep doing that, because I'm here to answer questions, and I'll give you written opinions if you need it that you can rely on. But just to clarify this, with regard to matters that are referred today to commission committees, the committee chair then will have the authority to decide which meeting it goes on. I don't want committee chairs polling other committee members on agenda matters. So this is something that the committee chair will contact the committee liaison to determine, you know, what goes on what particular agenda.
Yeah. Mayor, if I could. I believe land use might be coming up first, at least from a tentative schedule. I will work with our liaison, Alina, and make sure that we are prepared and focus on the priorities, being sensitive to the demands on staff that may have more pressing items. Just a procedural question to the city attorney. Could the members of a committee correspond to the city clerk or the liaison their desire for items that are a priority that they want heard?
Yes.
And items that they are happy not to have heard?
Through the committee liaison, not the city clerk. They should correspond to each committee liaison regarding items that they want heard or that items that they want not heard or taken off.
Thank you.
Okay, so go ahead.
Mayor, we just wanted, two more things I wanted to mention. Number one, the city is not closed. So I want you to know the building department and planning department are still open. We have now gone to a drop-off mode purely. We're asking, because yesterday we had a lot of these permit expediters just hanging out downstairs in crowd greater than 10. Today we've told them all, you drop it off. We'll call you the next day and tell you when you come in for a meeting. Same with planning. Planning actually has a lot of electronic submission as well. Our customer service center is open to personal visits from 10 to 2 and obviously open. And so, you know, we're trying to stay as normal as possible. We do want to ask the public to be patient with us in our efforts to protect our employees, to protect the public. You know, we may not be as quick as we are in responding to an email or a phone call or an application, but we are trying to handle matters. The other thing, yesterday I convened my executive staff at 4 o'clock for a meeting. We know that the business of the city still needs to keep going. So I just want to assure you all, we are still working on GOB. We're still working on resiliency. We're still working on trying to improve customer service. We're continuing to do those things. Obviously, the crisis of coronavirus will be the top thing on our list. But, you know, we're still working on the issues that and the assignments and the projects, because we know that once, and God willing, it'll be sooner rather than later, this cloud is lifted over us. We've got to get back to normal, and we're working. So we will continue the business of the city. But one of those that we're also focusing on significantly is how do we help our industry come back? And so we are doing
for
example, in the LTC we sent out a lot of information we're providing to the businesses about existing programs. We're working with our lobbyists in Tallahassee and Washington to try to figure out what's exactly coming out, how the money can be spent, how we can access it. We're actually going to use this opportunity that we have code officers and other folks who are not as busy to do door-to-door visits to our businesses, to inform them, give them information, make sure we have a detailed contact list of names, addresses, the latest cell phone numbers and email addresses, so that when the time comes and we reopen, we can quickly reach out and provide information about how they can help their employees, how they can help themselves. So that's also now on our list of a very high priority, how quickly we can help folks recover.
And I'm glad you said that, because I think it's really important that we are sensitive to the fact that it's, you know, government sometimes thinks about that its job is to run government, but it's really, it's not, it's to serve residents. And I think we have a lot of residents and businesses who are going to feel like a lot of the pressures on them, the anxiety they have on them, is things that often are within our ambit and our control. So to whatever extent our code people can be understanding of all the issues that are they're confronting right now, I mean, we're not looking to, I don't think, we're making examples or being punitive. This isn't the time to do that. It's the time to try to really help people who might not, who invested or have a home, and it might go 3 months without income at all. And so, I'm glad you said that, because I think we really have to, as much as we have servants' hearts, we have to really think about that in almost everything we do.
Ms. Rand, you know, FPNL has announced they're not going to be cutting off power right. for not payment. We're not going to cut off utilities. We're not going to, our code officers are going to only focus on serious violations, you know, serious quality of life issues and things like that. We're not going to be petty. We're going to be very lenient during this time. And we hope others are, you know, lenient with us as well. We're hoping the regulatory agencies out there that, and one of the challenges is we're obviously reaching out to all the agencies we interact with because their work schedule impacts us. You know, if we're doing a project, for example, and we need a DERM approval or a DP or whatever, we're impacted by what's happening with them. So we're trying to coordinate with all the applicable government entities because it's a patchwork. We're not flying solo.
And we haven't said this, and I know every one of my colleagues agrees with me on this. A kite flies highest against the wind. And our residents have really been remarkable. A lot of the emails we've been getting, people who have previously said nice things about me are just sending me emails trying to help out in a very nice way. It's bringing out the best in us. There are mothers and fathers at our tot lots who are cleaning stuff up immediately after every 20 minutes to make sure all the kids are safe. And I know they're all very grateful to the work of our first responders, obviously. Okay, we're going to be able to talk about some of the measures when we get to the item, but I'd like to get to, can we get to the business? And before I do that, I want to recognize my colleague and friend, Commissioner Areola, for a point of personal privilege.
Yeah, thanks. Just real quick, I know we're on a compressed time schedule this morning. I made some remarks last Friday that, in hindsight, looking back at them, my words came out in a way that were not my intent, And I realize that it concerned and offended members of the first responder community. And as that leadership and many of the men and women who I personally know in our police and fire in particular know how much I love them, how much I always supported them in my 4 years in office. And so to the extent that, you know, people got upset by my remarks, I firmly apologize for them. It was not my intent, clearly. My words came out in a very clumsy manner. And for those of you who were here and bothered to, you know, sort of watch the whole tape, it was a series of hypotheticals and questions I was asking about, you know, what do we do in the event the government shuts down? And even things that have happened since last Friday, had they been proposed a month ago, we would have seemed crazy. And so my words came out wrong, and I know I upset somebody, some folks, and I apologize for that, okay? You know, it doesn't help when, you know, the Twitter world blows things up out of proportion. I've reached out to leadership. You know how much I love you guys, and I hope I've cleared the air on that. It was certainly not my intent. It was not a proposal. It was something that I was asking a hypothetical to a question, and the word just came out wrong. So sorry again.
Okay, I see the FOP nodding.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. And I just, look, Commissioner, I've watched you, and I know you. I know you have a great affection, and you support our first responders as much as anyone, so I appreciate that, and thank you for saying that. Okay, let's get to the consent agenda.
Yes, sir. I have some announcements. Just for the record, all regular agenda items except for item R7K are deferred to the April 22nd, 2020 commission meeting. All separated consent agenda items are deferred to the April 22nd, 2020 commission meeting. On the dais, you have the list of separated items. I'm going to read those for the records, but the ones that I'm going to read first are the ones that are not there. So you do not have Commissioner Minor's separated items. Those are C6B, C6C, so those two are reports, and C7H. So Commissioner Minor separated C6B as in boy, C6C, and C7H. The rest of the commissioners, Mayor Gelbert has not separated any items. Commissioner Areola has separated C2B as in boy. Commissioner Gongora has separated C7Y and C7AC. Commissioner Richardson has separated C4L, C7L, and C7P. Commissioner Samuelin has separated C4S. All those items that I have just read are going to April 22nd.
Okay.
On the dais, you also have a revised resolution for item C7Z as in zebra.
Move the remainder of the consent agenda.
Second.
Do you have a question?
I had a question. I love this consent item about a resolution demanding that the City of Miami Port Authority have testing. But what about the airports? Can we add that?
Sure. What's the question?
Just adding the airports. We're including the ports and the ships that port here. But what about testing? To have testing as people disembark.
And just for the record, he's talking about Commissioner Gongora's addendum item, which is C7AF.
I like it. I love it. I'm just adding to it.
You want to beef it up?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hey guys, I just say I'm fine, but I don't know that there's an apparatus in the world that's going to test every single person that comes in the airport.
I don't think it's a – I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. It's your item, but I don't think it's an actual COVID-19 test. It's temperature. It's doing some basic screening.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So you accept
it? It's in the consent. Has it been moved and seconded? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign, nay, show. All the consent items approved. Thank you all. The only item we have is the resolution extending the city manager's emergency measures. We'll talk about it, but does someone want to move it?
I will move it, but I have a question.
Yeah, we're gonna mm-hmm. full discussion. I just want to get it.
Motion was, I'm sorry.
To extend the city manager's emergency
measures. I agree. I just didn't hear who made the motion.
Oh, Gongora. Okay, I'll second it. What is the first of all, just so we know what we're talking about, for how long is this measure an extension? Is it 30 days until the next meeting?
I think it's a series, unless I'm mistaken, it's a series of 7 day, because the power is only for 7 days. The attorney
Mayor,
drafted.
Yeah, let me just go through it. Right now, we're under an extension. The last extension granted to the manager expires on March 19th. So the resolution before you it seeks to extend it for an additional 7-day period, which is the maximum allowable period under state law. It's broader than the 72 hours under our code, commencing on March 19th, 2020, and ending on March 26, 2020. In addition to that, we're asking for four additional extensions in 7-day increments, which would commence on March 26, 2020, and end on April 23rd, 2020. That would be the day after the next regularly scheduled commission meeting.
So we wouldn't have to meet every 7 days?
That's correct. Okay. Now, the reason I revised the resolution was I had, in my briefings with some of you individually, you indicated that some of you would like to see, would have the ability to call an emergency commission meeting to revisit whether or not to continue the extension up to April 23rd, 2020. And that's basically what paragraph 3 of the reso said. It says, the City Commission may, at its regularly scheduled meeting on April 22nd, 2020, determine whether any further extensions of the declaration of a state of emergency are warranted. Should the April 22nd, 2020 meeting of the Mayor and City Commission be canceled or rescheduled to a subsequent date, the City Manager shall call a special emergency meeting of the City Commission pursuant to Section 204 of the City Charter for the express purpose of terminating or continuing to extend the declaration of a state of emergency. And I think I have to tweak that a little because I think the intent was that the commission should have the power to call an emergency meeting prior to the expiration of the extension on April 23rd.
Just make that amendment and...
Right.
Okay.
So that would be the amendment that I'm offering here.
Show that accepted without objection.
Okay.
Okay. We all want to have a discussion on this, so yeah. Everybody knows what it is. Let's start on the right and move to the... Okay.
Who do you want to start with?
I mean, said the
okay,
right.
All right. Number one,
we
I accept
to that side this year.
All right, all
that's
right.
My favorite side. Anyway, sorry. I for some reason I look that way more than I look this way, and I apologize. I know I always miss everybody there, but it's not personal.
Okay. Number one, I accept the amendment and the motion from the city attorney. Somebody has to act on behalf of the city of Miami Beach during these emergency times, and obviously, pursuant to our charter, it's the city manager. Really, my question that I was talking about with the city manager before the meeting is, God forbid, what happens if he gets ill? What would happen to that decision-making process if he were unable to act? Would that pass to an assistant city manager? If so, which assistant city manager?
You're going where I was on Friday. Be very selective in how you phrase everything you're about to say.
So I guess my question is this only personal to the city manager? Or what happens if we have to think about
delegable?
The worst-case scenario?
Is it delegable?
Well, I'll tell you what would happen, practically speaking, just the same way that if I get ill, and I can't act.
I don't want anybody to get ill. No apologies here today.
It would either pass to an ACM, or in my case, to my chief deputy. Now, this body can for purposes of formality, I don't think it's necessary, but for purposes of formality, this body could appoint an interim, a temporary manager.
How about
the present manager is unable
to be acting?
An acting manager. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Mayor.
As you know, when I go out on vacation or something, you all usually get a memo saying that in my absence, I've designated one of the ACMs as acting city manager. That would be my intention if I had to quarantine or something. I would designate one of them as acting city manager. Of course, you could also do that as well. But that's why we are doing alternate schedules so that we can also protect the leadership. But I thank you for –
thank you. So that – does that clear it up?
Sure. Okay. So I just want to make sure – so is that – you'll just appoint one of the assistant city managers?
Absolutely.
That would happen.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that will be part of the resolution or whatever it is we're passing.
Okay.
Okay. Mayor.
Yep. Okay. Commissioner Sandler.
So I'm very pleased with the transparency, the engagement the city manager and, frankly, you, Mayor, have had with us. You know, we're on the phone 7 days a week. You are confiding in us. We have access to the administration. So I think I am comfortable with what we're doing. I do want to follow up, though, because I did raise the issue with the city attorney, right, that April 22nd is 5 weeks away. We're talking about emergency powers and some significant undertakings. So I just want to have clarity. If it is the will of commissioners to have a special meeting before the 22nd, could you just elaborate on your amendment and the process?
Right. Under the charter, this is how special meetings are called. The manager or the mayor may call for a special meeting upon 24 hours notice to the commissioners by hand delivery. Four commissioners, in the event that the manager and mayor don't call for an emergency meeting, four commissioners may call for an emergency meeting and subject to the same requirement of upon 24 hours notice, hand delivery to the commissioners. So the way that we could write this to be easy would be, I think the manager has already stated that he is if a commissioner wishes to revisit his powers, he is amenable to calling an emergency meeting. So the way I would word the second sentence would be, you know, notwithstanding the proceeding, which is keeping the extension until April 22nd, if the mayor or any city commission contacts the city manager to call a special meeting for the express purpose of terminating or continue to extend the declaration of the state of emergency, then the manager shall call a special meeting of the commission pursuant to Section 204 of the city charter.
I mean, by the way, just so you know, if I got wind that anyone wanted to reconsider this, any one of you, I would call it a special meeting. It's been very important to me that we act,
right,
for the most part, together on everything.
So I'll make it both.
Whatever. I mean, I'm just saying that you're not going to have the issue. If somebody says something's out of control, or it's time we stopped, or whatever, I would just say, then let's meet tomorrow and air it out.
And, Mr. Mayor, I think, Raul, three commissioners can convene a special meeting, too, yeah. I think, right?
Yeah, I believe it's four. The way it works is one commissioner sends a notification to the clerk,
right,
saying, I would like to have a meeting, and you propose a date, and then I poll the rest of them to see if I get four that say yes, then a meeting is held.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, I'm going to call it if you want it. I mean... be aware that we got to do this, but I'm going to do that. Yep, sure.
Okay. Now, I don't want to look back at the past, but I had wanted to call a special meeting earlier to discuss coronavirus about a week and a half ago. If I wish to do that, and it wasn't called, if I wish to do that again, what is the appropriate procedure that I should follow?
Under the charter right now, if a commissioner, okay, under the charter, the manager can call for a special meeting on his own. The mayor can call for a special meeting on his own, and any commissioner can contact the clerk. One commissioner contacts the clerk, usually, and I thereafter contact every commissioner and say, Commissioner, Gongora has requested a special meeting. Are you available? Are you willing to participate? Once I get four, I have a quorum, and I set up the meeting.
Okay, so maybe that was my mistake. Those requests should go through you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's pursuant to the charter, how it works.
Okay.
And Michael, just... I'm sorry, when you had done that, you had called me about the activation areas, and I had checked, and we were putting them out. They weren't scheduled Monday through Thursday anyways, and I also, that day, started the Monday morning things the very next day so that we all could speak. So I knew you wanted, and everybody wanted to start talking about this, and the reason why I did it that way, frankly, rather than a meeting, is the moment we have a meeting where we might vote on something, then... Raul says we can't even join the manager together to talk about these issues other than at the meeting. And I think it's been very helpful. I mean, honestly, all of you that are going on these calls, I've talked to Jim about this all the time. You've been really helpful to him. He gets feedback We were talking about examples where it wasn't that way before, where he did something and the commission wasn't on the same footing. But because you participate and your staff are on these calls, he knows exactly where everybody is, and we're giving him a lot of what we're hearing. And honestly, that's exactly the way it's worked as well as I could imagine it. And I didn't call the meeting because I had that the very next day, which you didn't know about when you called about the activation areas. So that was a sequence of events. I didn't know you actually wanted to keep having meetings. I thought that the early morning meetings were pretty helpful. So
that was then. This is now. We all got to move forward for the best
Thank
of the city.
You. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm comfortable. I think the meetings have worked well. I have a very high confidence they will, and I appreciate the amendment and the clarity so that we have the processes clear. So I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, let's get on to Commissioner Areola. Anything? I'm just going down the line. Commissioner Minor.
I guess I'm going to be a little bit of the outlier here today. I didn't love the process, and I'm going to explain why and just back up to what happened here. So the city manager declares a state of emergency, and then Friday we, as a body, voted to extend those powers. We did have the daily meetings. Obviously, Jimmy's very responsive, and Alina, anytime I send an email, it's heard, it's responded to. But what I saw was, as of Friday, most of our residents had self-isolated, other than the necessities. Public schools had closed, Universal Studios and Disney World had closed, NBA, MLB, NHL, soccer leagues, countries, whole countries had shut down, Italy, France, Israel. Services at synagogues and churches had canceled. People who had not missed services in decades were not going to services. And what our residents saw was a spring break where we had thousands of people on our streets as if nothing had changed and the world hadn't changed. This was very concerning to our residents, and I had to field a lot of the calls and respond to it. And I conveyed my message. Everyone on the calls heard what I had to say. The emails speak for themselves, how I was basically begging for swift action. And we got there to some extent, but we got there, in my opinion, a little bit not as quickly as we should have. Also, I've been asking about drive-through testing for coronavirus, and I know the city manager's been trying hard and working on that, but I also see municipalities around the country that have implemented it, some successfully, some have not so successfully. We have municipalities in Florida that have the drive-through testing for coronavirus and walk-through testing. I've actually personally reached out to urgent care facilities in Miami Beach to see if they can offer it. Somebody today, actually this morning, right before the meeting, said that he'd like to have a conversation after this meeting, and he may be able to put that together and have some kind of facility. But my concern is, and I was hesitant to some degree to say all this because when I got into this position, I promised myself that I'd be true and I would speak my mind, and whether it's popular or unpopular, that was the promise I made to myself. So I am doing that. And my issue is not so much the decision making. Different minds can differ on how to handle a situation. So my point is not to be critical of the decisions. I'm really not happy with the process. In my opinion, the process didn't work so well. We need quickness and boldness of action. And what I see the problem is we have the daily calls, we have the emails, but as a body, we cannot vote. And the system is set up for this body to make those decisions. And right now, I don't believe we're doing that. I don't believe my voice was listened to, but I'm one of seven. So ultimately, it's our whole body, but we don't know the answer to that. I don't know if we had been voting on these issues whether we would have come to different decisions. And my concern is going forward, we do see a troubling trend in the uptick. You quoted the statistics. There hasn't been a whole lot of testing in Miami-Dade, so presumably the numbers are going to be a lot higher. I'm very concerned about our first responders who were literally in the midst of the activity that was going on during spring break and God forbid, exposed. I've learned in the last 12 hours of a number of people. Luckily, I have not been in contact with them recently, but I've learned of a number of people who have tested positive. I think the numbers are going to just keep going up and up. And further measures may have to be taken. We don't know yet, but if we look at Seattle and New York and certainly other countries as guides, we're probably going to get to a point where we're going to have to implement more strict curfews. We may have to have checkpoints on our entry points to the city. We may have a deserted city because obviously our residents are going to adhere to the isolation and the self-quarantine that they're already doing. So we may have to make some very serious decisions about protecting our city, protecting our businesses that are closed, protecting our residents from looting. And certainly we're going to have to give the direction to our police force to do that. And by the way, I don't say this lightly, there's a lot of pain to our businesses and our workers, and I can't even remotely comprehend what they are going through right now. That being said, the longer we linger, the more pain is going to be. And I don't say this just for us. I say this nationally, that the pain is going to linger. This is a tremendous responsibility on our city manager, a tremendous responsibility. These are literally decisions that are impacting potentially life decisions. They're huge decisions. I just personally feel that as a body, as a commission body, we'd be better off making those decisions together literally on a daily basis. So I've been in contact with Raul a number of times. So the question came up, well, if we're meeting in a quorum and there's four of us, and obviously we don't probably best not to be meeting in a quorum. And I understand from our city attorney, and he can address this as well, that there is a letter to the governor to waive the physical quorum requirement. But further than that, hopefully the Governor DeSantis does that. But absent that even, Raul is telling me that in an emergency, we may have the ability, without even the governor ordering it, that we could have those meetings remotely, and we could figure it out. And maybe there's a dial-in where the public could also listen in, but maybe we only have the ability to speak. And this way, I think we can give daily, and maybe we could even do these twice a day, whatever we decide on, morning and evening, just morning. But this way, we can give the direction as a body to what we need to do. This is a tough decision. You have worked exceedingly hard, and I hesitated a bit, but this is what I feel. I know you're trying your best. I know you have the best interest at heart. But that being said, even last week when we voted to extend the powers, I was this close. I was really close to saying no because of this very issue that we're facing now, that I felt like as a commission, we lose control. I just have to add one other. I was constantly sending emails to you. And again, you responded about the action we need to take. We need to be the leader on this. We need to see what's going on throughout the country in the hot spots like New York and Seattle that haven't closed up quicker. And ultimately, I found out about the measures we took, which I was very happy about, that we took to close down certain businesses, difficult as those decisions are. But I found out about it reading about it in the newspaper. Instead of the routine government channels, I found out about reading about it in the Miami Herald. So at times I felt like a bystander in this process instead of an elected official. So I did vote yes last week. I honestly regretted it. I regretted it afterwards, and I'm not going to make that same mistake again. I'm going to vote no on this, and I'm going to ask, and I'm hoping my colleagues agree with me, that we should set up this daily meeting without the physical quorum, that we should be able to call in and give direction to the city manager as to we as a body vote on.
Raul, did you want to say something before I talk to you?
Yeah. I just want to correct one thing that Commissioner Miner said. We have petitioned, we're not the only ones, but several municipalities and local governments have petitioned both the AG and the governor, who has not responded as to whether an elected body can in its entirety meet remotely for the purpose of having a public meeting. So Sunshine Law is still in effect. So there are two options here. Right now, as I said, we can only have a meeting where we take action, in other words, where we take vote under the sunshine, and a physical quorum still has to be present. Others may meet remotely, but a physical quorum still has to be present.
Can I ask a question? Is that
because of our city charter or because of
that's state law.
Okay, because you know there's a number of cities that allow the commissioners to appear telephonically. One that comes to mind is the city of Aventura. When Anbar Cohen was away, they allowed her to appear at every meeting by speakerphone.
Yes, we have allowed commissioners in extraordinary circumstances to appear by remotely. But the proviso is that you still have to have a quorum present in the chambers.
Okay, let me comment on.
But let me just say one other thing. In order to perhaps accomplish Commissioner Miner's, query, we have workshops. We've had workshops where we have, where we have given direction and we have not taken a vote. So, and I know we're having conference calls now every day that the elected officials are free to sit in on. So it would be possible, in my opinion, to have perhaps a conference call with the elected officials and senior staff. But the elected officials would, first of all, not be able to vote and take official action at those calls. So the most they could do is give direction and make suggestions to the city manager.
Got it. All right. Let me say this. Commissioner, I appreciate your concerns. I also appreciate anyone who wants to move faster. But let's understand something. Every single day, the entire commission is invited to talk to the manager and senior staff. We've done that every single day. I don't know how many have been on the call, but what you're describing is literally happening every morning. And I don't know if you've been at every meeting. I know we have jobs, so it's hard to. But every single day, the way this process has gone is Jimmy has had a meeting with all of his staff that are not just direct reports but also department heads and things like that. And then after that meeting where they work out what they think, he has a meeting with us telephonically with all of his direct reports. And he goes down and Lena goes down every single thing that we're doing, every single thing. And we say to him, what about this? What about that? I've heard about this. I'll do it. That doesn't make sense. Or it's being done by so-and-so. Those interactions are how you manage something. And we're doing it every single day, every single morning. I'm happy to do it twice a day, by the way. Happy to do it. But the moment you say you want the commission to meet as a commission with all of the notice to take actions, you're basically saying this crisis is going to be managed by a group of people. And I can tell you something, our system of government in this city is a manager system. We are the board of directors, we give him advice, we tell him direction. In this case, we're doing much more than that because of the emergency nature where we're literally every morning sitting with him and saying, what are you doing today? Here's what we think. So there's been no instance where we have not had 100% access, first of all, collectively, but also, of course, individually. The reason I say that is I don't want to take a legitimate frustration that we aren't moving fast enough with the change of a process that ultimately becomes so brittle. Seven people at a commission meeting, I can tell you, literally, we closed our beaches ahead of every other place. And we mostly everything we've done is ahead of everybody else in the state, in large part because we're feeling it a little more acutely than other places. Maybe we could have been a couple days ahead, but we're clearly ahead of everybody else. But the reason that's happening is that he's on a call in the morning with all of us, presumably, or all of us that can attend, and listening to what we're saying. There have been instances where he's gone out there or a manager's gone out there and not been on the same page as the commission. But the moment we go to let's have a commission meeting to make these decisions where we become seven emergency managers, just think about the difficulty. I'll give you an example. The other day, we went through a morning meeting where he had a whole list of things we wanted done. I called the governor a few minutes later and got a whole other bit of information that he had to change. And then we had to add something else. Then we had to write up language about the beaches for the state to get because we wanted them to comport with us. How would we supplant him in that decision making? So all I can tell you is that if you're unhappy we're not moving fast enough, then you need to speak louder and tell us and these meetings because he has to be the person that implements it. He's the manager. And the moment we became seven managers, the difficulty, the brittleness of our process, that, frankly, a lot of other reasons makes it more difficult. So I don't disagree with your frustration, but I think your process of saying, well, maybe the commission should just start meeting every day and making these decisions, frankly, I think if you ask these staff, they'll tell you that the sands shift around here about every 30 minutes. They get other information from somebody saying, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to do. So I appreciate it, and I think it's coming from a good place, but I think the idea that and I don't know that any commission could do this unless you literally just went into, I mean, imagine we'd have arguments about every little thing, then someone would say, well, go call so-and-so and find out, okay, come back, we'll reconvene and consider the issue again. It's too cumbersome. On the other hand, if you want to have another meeting late in the day also, I'm happy to do that. I am 100% want all of you to be able to advise him. And the reason why I didn't call a meeting every day is that the moment, as Raul tells you, that we start calling a meeting to act, we can no longer talk to him at any other time. We can't talk to each other than at the meeting, properly noticed, available to the public, open up here, the whole bit. And that, think about that also. So we would be literally not able to have these calls where we're saying, that's a great idea, Mark, or it's a terrible idea, or what about this, or I agree with so-and-so. None of those are binding on him. But I think he's been, because if they were binding, it would be a vote, and Raul would say we violated the Sunshine Law. But because we're giving him our input that you and your aides are receiving, and all of us are receiving, he's getting more information so that he properly can make the decision. Our charter makes him the manager of the city. It doesn't. In fact, I think there are even provisions in our charter where we're not supposed to make certain micro decisions. But I think that it's been working to the extent that he's getting our input and we have available avenues for that input. If you want more avenues, I 100% would say we ought to have a second meeting, and I hope everybody's on it. Because for the beginning, I think a lot of us weren't on it. Honestly, there was like one or two commissioners at one time, four or five weren't on it. I understand that it's hard and we just started them. Now, I'm happy to say everybody's on them. But at the beginning of this thing, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think there were one or two commissioners on those meetings, on those calls, and most of us were not on it. And we were doing exactly what you want, which is expressing our opinion so he could hear all of us saying, this is what we're hoping for. And so maybe that is the problem. But I think our footing now is, I mean, we've been ahead of everybody. We closed restaurants. The reason why the county did it and even the state did it was in the morning when I let the night before when I talked to the county mayor and said, we're doing this, he realized that we all have to do it. And then I talked to the governor in the morning. He hadn't said he was going to do it, and then he went ahead and did the bars immediately. So to a certain extent, they're following us because we're ahead of them. We might, you're right, we might be a day or two late on some of this stuff. It's hard to do, frankly, but... And it's but on the other hand, if you want more input, we'll do it. But people got to be on these calls, and we can have them multiple times a day. But convening a meeting creates a whole nother issue for us, and I think that's the concern. So I'm trying to help you come to a process, but I think the process you're suggesting is not one that I think it would have, frankly, very difficult brittleness to it that would make it hard for these guys to respond. Without coming to us, we would become the emergency managers, and when we meet, we would make decisions, and when we don't meet, well, inertia would be our principle, our organizational principle, and I don't think you wanted that, and I know I didn't. So, but of course, go ahead.
Sure.
And I'll get back to you. I'm sorry. Can I let him respond?
Yeah. Do you want to respond?
Yeah, if you don't mind, just to respond to, well, thank you, Mayor, first of all.
Thank you.
Secondly, I think... The records will show it, but I think I've only missed one meeting, and that was very early in the process, so I've been on all those calls. But I think I have been pretty loud and vocal as to my opinion, actually so much so that I had reached out to Jimmy, because on these calls are not just the commissioners and the executive management team, but a tremendous amount of staff, maybe up to 70, 80 people. And I want to share my thoughts without having all of the staff here what I had to say. So I actually asked for a separate meeting, which we did, so I could be a little more vocal. But my emails, I don't think anybody will doubt that my emails certainly spoke loud and clear as to what my thoughts were. Obviously there's a lot of nitty gritty on some of the details, but I still believe as a body we can make some major decisions, and we don't have to make every single nuanced decision, but we still can make major decisions as a body if we meet every day.
Commissioner Minor, I think you're right. I applaud your comments, and I understand your frustration, and it's actually refreshing because you're new to the body. That was my frustration that occurred in one of the telephone calls, because I had wanted to have a special meeting. I had wanted to shut down certain things sooner, and I didn't feel that we had the opportunity or the voice to do so. So I think that you're absolutely right. The reason that I made the motion today to support the emergency powers is because the manager does have to act under the charter, and we do have to have somebody to act day to day. But one of the things that this administration, I do think, needs to do a better job of, I've served with like four managers, three mayors, a zillion, three attorneys. I've never arrived at a press conference as a commissioner before and learned what was being said while I'm standing there at the press conference. And I do think that the administration needs to do a better job of sharing the information, because we are a city manager-led city under the charter. And although I understand the mayor is the spokesperson and doing the speaking, as the mayor just said, we're seven votes, and I think I've never had a manager who hasn't called me before a press conference and told me what we're about to announce as a city. So number one, I think we need to do a better job of remembering that there's seven elected officials and that we all need to be aware of what's happening. And number two, I agree with Commissioner Minor, we need to have more of a forum for the commission to be able to vote, because I think, like you, I would have liked to have seen more measures to start shutting down the city sooner, and I was frustrated about that.
Anyone else? Jimmy?
Yeah, I just want, look, I welcome all the direction, because quite frankly, these are hard decisions, and I have actually appreciated the input you all gave, and I think I've modified my decisions at times. Yesterday we had a conversation about parks, for example, whether or not we were going to limit to 10 people in a park, and we ended up not including that because I think there was some back and forth. And I apologize not calling for the press conference. But what we announced yesterday was exactly what we talked about on the phone. So I maybe that was why. But I welcome the input. I do think there are some logistical issues with having a commission meeting every day, because now we got to open it to the public, and it becomes logistically. But I welcome all the input. And the only thing I want to say, I know that a lot of our residents have emailed about, you know, closing the causeways and shutting down our hotels and all that kind of thing. But I want to reiterate what the mayor and others have said. This city led. The governor still hasn't even gotten as far as we've gotten. I mean, Friday when you all met here, you were the first city to take any substantive action just by voting on the occupancy load issue to limit everybody to 250 or less. That caused Fort Lauderdale to reach out to me, the manager, to say, my bosses said, why aren't you doing what Miami Beach is doing? And that led to Sunday when jointly the city and Lauderdale acted. That action led to the county in Miami saying, uh-oh, and they responded. And then that really pushed the governor. And the truth is, yes, yesterday we drafted language for the governor on how to deal with the beaches. So we could do more. And Commissioner, I know you have been clear. No misunderstanding on that. But I don't want, really, for your residents, our residents, your voters and constituents to know that while they may have wanted you, some of them may wanted you to do more, you led. Where the state is today, where the county is today, is because Miami Beach on Friday started acting and others felt the need to follow. So I congratulate you for that. So,
yeah,
Mayor,
Mark.
If I could. When Commissioner Minor speaks about process, I listen carefully, and I take his words very, very seriously. So I'm glad he spoke what was in his mind and his heart, and I'm glad we're having this conversation. So let me weigh in for a second. I think the city administration and as a body, you know, we're experiencing a extraordinary event, once a decade, once a lifetime perhaps. So given all the uncertainties, the changing nature, I personally feel like we're doing a fine job. We're doing the best we can. Have we gotten every decision perfect? Probably not. But I think we have made the right decisions. We're getting there. And I think our process has been, to me, reassuring. I'm comfortable with our process and what we've been doing.
I take to the point that having official city meetings virtually, one, I think I heard, and the city attorney will correct me, that right now he is not sure we can do those virtually. I think I'm hearing him say at this point he does not believe that we're allowed to do it virtually.
The only way that you can meet remotely is if you are not going to take any action. You can't take, you can't vote. So all you can do is listen and give direction.
Right. So that's the assumption that I had.
Otherwise, sunshine law applies.
Right. That's the assumption I had, and so we're left with that. I do think the mayor makes an important point that, you know, even if we met twice a day, there may be some things that happen in the middle. So I guess what I would say, because I value both of my colleagues' comments, I wonder if there's an opportunity within the current process of the seven-day calls that we're all doing our best to attend, of maybe the manager and the administration being as precise as possible about the specific issues and decisions that need to be taken on. Maybe instead of what I think has been a little more of an update-oriented meeting, we can have the brief update, but say, look, and Jimmy, you have the final power. That's the emergency power. Maybe to each call, we need to hear, there's two or three things I'm thinking about that I really want to hear the best thinking, and that we really sort of delve into those, and that you make sure, because it's really your call, you're getting advice, that all seven of us have, you know, hopefully are there and can weigh in on that. So I think Commissioner Miner's comments are fair. I think we can build on the current process. I do think it's working for us, and maybe a little more focus, laser focus on decisions up front and throughout the call would help.
Do you think, and I'm going to call on Commissioner Richardson in a moment, but first, do you think we should have a call, a second call later in the day?
I'd
like you all to tell me that, because we certainly can do it. I mean,
that's going to tie up resources. The calls already are an hour long, and there's 50, 60 people on them, all the department heads. These decisions need to be made in real time. Sorry, I interrupted, but I guess I got the mic. You know I'm not an easy grader. Jimmy, you're doing a great job. The staff is doing a great job. Hindsight's really easy. It's easy to criticize. You're doing a great job. If at any time, you know, I felt differently, you would know about it. And I think if any of us have a real concern, call Jimmy and we can call a meeting. We're meeting every 24 hours on the phone. I mean, this is not the time to be slowing down government and making it more difficult for Jimmy and his team to do things they need to do because we, you know, want to chime in and give seven opinions. Our form of government is city manager. It's a CEO. We're a board. We're an advisory board. We're giving him constant feedback. Let him do his job. I think this is, while it's well-intended, it is exactly how you grind government to a halt at precisely the moment we need government to be swift.
Commissioner Richardson?
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that, and appreciate all the comments from my colleagues. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great. So first of all, I just want to reiterate what's been said by a couple of the colleagues, and that we have a strong city manager form of government. That's a form of government we have, and we will have that until the people decide to change that. And I think that we need to respect that. I appreciate that we've had the calls every morning and give an opportunity to have our staff on the call or ourselves on the call. I am not in favor of having a second call during the day. This takes up a lot of time from staff who need to be focused on getting the work done for the people. I will say that where I've had differences with the city manager, and that's only had happened one time that I've been concerned about a subject, I call him directly. I have a private conversation. I don't air it publicly. I call him and tell him exactly what's on my mind and exactly what I think could have been done differently. So I'm happy with that line of communication. The other thing is, if commissioners feel like they want to provide even more input other than the call we have in the morning, they can call directly. So yesterday, I spoke to the city manager in the afternoon on a matter. And the other thing is, I try not to take his time, but I call Marcia. I probably spoke to Marcia three times yesterday because I know she's in constant contact with the city manager. So that's another line of communication, is call Marcia or call the city manager and express concern if you feel like there's something that you couldn't get out in the morning call. I am very comfortable with the way we are doing this. I feel like my input is being considered. I think that we have been an absolute leader in the state of Florida, and you can look around at other communities that are doing what we were doing. So I'm happy with what we're doing. I don't want to add another call unless something drastic changes and we feel we need to, because if I have something on my mind, I'll just call Jimmy directly or I'll call Marcia and handle it that way. So in terms of the testing, the question on the testing, I think all of us are frustrated nationally, not just in Miami Beach, with the level of testing. And there's going to be plenty of time to point fingers. But, you know, the truth is the federal government knew this was coming 4 months ago. And, you know, that'll come out in terms of why testing kits were not provided nationally when that information was known. But there'll be plenty of time to point that. And I don't feel like that if the body had voted to direct Jimmy to go get testing kits, we'd be in any different position, because I feel like the administration has spent an enormous amount of time trying to run down every opportunity for testing kit, because we've all raised it, and the opportunities have not been there, sadly, because the kits, quite frankly, are not readily available. And you look at nationally where the kits are, where kits are available, they're not testing everybody. They're testing only people who are symptomatic, and that's what's happening here. So my only real question on this declaration is whether or not, you know, there's an opportunity to review it prior to 5 weeks, and I think that's been addressed by the city attorney and you, Mayor, because I think you've pledged that if we want to have a meeting and come back, you are willing to do that. I'm not comfortable just giving 5 weeks of emergency order when we don't know if that's really needed. So I'm happy we're doing it in 7-day blocks. If we find in 3 weeks that we don't need to extend that, we can come back and say, all right, let's rescind future emergency orders. And so that's my only comment on the resolution. And I would really ask that we have a unanimous agreement from the commission so we can send a strong message to the community that we respect our form of government and we respect the job that the city administration is doing.
Thank you, Commissioner Richardson. Anyone else want to be heard? Yeah, go ahead, Commissioner.
Just to be clear, I was not advocating another meeting. I was actually advocating a commission meeting in which we'd be available to vote, which, by the way, we could cancel if there was nothing to vote on. It was just it would be publicly noticed 24 hours in advance. We could do that literally for the next month. And certainly, I mean, I hear what my colleagues have to say. Obviously, I respect the opinions. Certainly, my intent was not to slow down the process. I'm actually of the belief that if we were available as a commission, as a body, to vote, we'd actually be speeding up the process potentially. It's a lot for one person decision making, and I think collectively we could move swifter. Also, just wanted to clarify with Raul. My understanding is that you believe that we actually could right now we'd be on some solid footing legally to call for virtual meetings, and that we'd be on the right side of the law.
Only to give direction, not to vote.
All right, then I misunderstood our conversation this morning.
Yeah.
And by the way, and listen, I just want to say, Commissioner Minor, I know your suggestion comes from the purest of intentions, I am frankly happy we're having it, because I do think it's important for the public to understand that we're not every city. We really think about what we're doing, and the only way we think about what we're doing is if people disagree and sometimes have a discussion where those disagreements are refined. You know, it's sort of the red team concept of government, which, you know, I'm a fan of. But I think it's easy. It's an easy decision for me, because I think what you want to do, I think the actual voting isn't as important as the collaboration to the manager. And I think we have that system set up pretty well. And by the way, I'll note this. When we first started it, it was more of an informational call. And I think a lot of us hadn't really expected it to be as fulsome a debate. I don't fault anyone for not being on it, because, frankly, we've had a lot of calls like that which have not been particularly helpful or fulsome. But I think as it has gone through this process, people realize that the manager and his team are literally taking our input and immediately processing it and figuring out whether they can implement it and it works. And now, I think all of you are on every call. And I don't fault you for not being on the first one, because honestly, this was a new vehicle for us. But now, this is our methodology. By having these meetings in the morning and not having to vote, we're able to have a discussion among ourselves with the manager saying, this is what we think you should do, or this is something you need to think about, or this really is terrible, can you take care of it immediately? And those things have happened, and if they haven't happened, we all know it. And so that, to me, is the best way to do it. I appreciate that it's frustrating when you don't get something as fast as you want it done, which I think is where this probably comes from, especially with the testing and a couple other things. And with regard to the testing, I would just say this. I share incredible concerns, everybody does, about the testing for this reason. I think we're flying blind, 100%. There is no question. We don't know what the plumes of this illness are. But I can tell you, we've gone to Mount Sinai, we've gone to Joe Natoli over at Baptist. We've now going to private vendors. The group that we met with privately that started it in Palm Beach, it shut down the next day because they hadn't. And am I wrong about that? That
closed after 2 days because they were overwhelmed.
They just couldn't figure out how to do it. So but we're not giving up. And I talked to the governor about the very point, because I think we all shared. It's very frustrating to me that nobody knows who might have this, because the lens to make a decision to test is so refined and brittle and unyielding. So people who come in, I had a niece who came back from a foreign travel recently, had a sniffle, went to the emergency room at Mount Sinai and said, sorry, and she's spent a semester abroad. We're not testing you. So she's home self-quarantining, hoping she doesn't have something. Same thing with our first responders. So this is really a huge problem, and I know we're trying to do everything we can. Maybe you can give us a report on it.
Well, two things, and Alina can supplement what I say if I miss something. Number one, the county is working very closely with the state, and they're looking to open up 4 testing sites, just like the governor did, and I don't know if it's open yet in Broward with the National Guard and whatnot. They're looking to do exactly the same thing in Dade County, because now we're second only to Broward, and in fact, we had more over the last couple of days. We've had more new cases than they have. So I think they're looking at 4 sites, right, Alina, I believe?
Yes.
And so that is going to come online hopefully fairly soon. Number two, right now I'm not aware of any place that's testing that tests anybody who wants to be tested. It has to be pre-screened. It has to be meet the guidelines. And part of that is because there's just not enough tests. So they don't want to waste tests on people who just want to see if by chance they might have it. That's true Mount Sinai. That's true anywhere, including these drive-thrus are all pre-screened by appointment. So I know that people want to, who have been maybe visited somewhere, but if they don't have symptoms, no doctor is going to sign a document, as far as we know. And I think our chief medical officer said that on the call yesterday morning, that nobody would do that. So that is the challenge. That said, we are reaching out to a couple of folks that we hear might be doing testing and this morning, and hopefully we'll have some more information. But then again, my guess is that even if they are, it is probably by doctor's order, because somebody has met whatever the pre-screening guidelines are. We're trying. It's just it's a challenge.
And I'd like to test our first responders, frankly. I mean,
Mayor, I take very seriously what's being said here. And, obviously, I have the law in front of me, and I just want to read it. It says the Sunshine Law applies to any gathering of 2 or more members of the county commission. This is an AGO that I'm reading from, to discuss some matter that foreseeably will come before the commission for action. If the discussion between the commissioners and staff concerns issues that do not require action by the county commission and the city commission in this case, and that would be the emergency, the emergency actions that the manager has the right to promulgate, such a casual discussion between staff and the commissioners would not appear to be subject to the requirements of Section 286.011. It's a Sunshine Law. That's That's what we have now. If this commission will authorize me, you know, I could certainly write an emergency request for opinion to the AGO to clarify whether we can meet remotely and take action.
Yeah, listen, we're going to vote on this in a moment, and I hope we vote for it. I don't know that daily meetings where we vote, formal meetings, I mean, honestly, I think as what Commissioner Areola said, I've been in government long enough to know that if you give seven people and say, we want you to make this decision, you end up achieving the possible over and over again in a slow process and not in an emergency process. And so I appreciate what you want to do, but I think that the meetings we're having have become what you want. Even if you don't get exactly what you want, you're getting the process you need and works. Another process will not change the results, because I don't know that Jimmy has felt like he's at any point done anything that has run contrary to what, I mean, I think he takes sort of a temperature on these meetings. Is that a good way to describe it? Yeah, and by the way, there have been instances where you weren't always on the same, previously. You know, and so this is for that purpose. So anyways, we should vote on this. We've kept everybody here long enough. Is there anyone else who needs to be heard? Okay. So it's been
no
moved.
Request, yeah. No request for AGO?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, you can go ahead if you just want to.
Well, no, I wouldn't do it without authorization from the commission.
So with that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign,
aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, by the way. It was a helpful discussion.
Right. Since we are in a duly public meeting, called meeting, is there some direction? I mean, I'm happy, because since we are convened here.
Good point.
Take advantage of the fact, is there some direction or that wants to be given or I'm, you know, since we're here.
Jimmy, I have a question. This is David. So my question is there any consideration about limiting people coming over the causeways, given that more and more businesses are going to be closed? You know, we want to be thinking about the potential for looting properties and so forth. And so I'm just asking if you all are thinking about that. And I know that one of our prior conversations, the question was raised is whether or not the causeway could be closed if you needed to, given that it's a state road. And I don't know if you had any, if there's been any legal review of that issue. So if you could just talk about that.
You know, the challenge with limiting who comes over, number one, obviously, they are, I guess, three of the four causeways are FDOT and one is county, and so we would certainly need their consent to do so. The second thing is that even though we've closed, you know, all the restaurants and bars and whatnot, there are still a lot of folks who are crossing the causeway daily to work here, at our hospitals, at the city, day labor, plumbers, landscapers for residents. So that's a very serious decision to make, because that really – you know, a lot of our residents are, you know, have people who come over and impact their lives daily, housekeepers, nannies. So that would be a very serious decision. We could, you know, and if the direction is to explore that and have conversations, but that is taking it to a different level. That we do that after hurricanes, obviously, because A, the city is unsafe. So, you know, we close the city
and empty
for 24 hours and it is unsafe. And then we had a curfew because lights were out and things like that. We have a health issue, but so does the whole county. And so it is a challenging issue because so much of our workforce does cross the bay. And I think, and I know Jose probably has the numbers, I don't know if he's here, we probably have 20,000, 30,000 residents a day who cross the bay to go work on the mainland and have offices and businesses over there. So that's also a challenge. As we're an island, but we're connected. So
I appreciate that, and I wasn't suggesting we should close it today or tomorrow. Just ask that, you know, you consider all those ramifications, and it certainly seems that you have. Thank
you. Will do.
You know, it's interesting. I want to raise another issue while we're all here. We're trying our measures, our countermeasures, obviously. We're trying to respond to what's going on, and some of it happens very quickly. And sometimes when we do something immediately, everybody else will do it or vice versa. The causeway issue is interesting because I think we should see how it is today and tomorrow. I think it's going to be a different policing strategy for our chief, because without restaurants and without cafes, he's going to hopefully be looking at some pretty empty areas. and therefore the kind of policing we do will be a little bit different. People are home, as Commissioner Arriola pointed out, and therefore, the reason we do that with hurricanes is that people aren't home and their homes are targets. This is exactly the opposite. Now, the one area I think we have to be watching, because a lot of this is the law of unintended consequences. We do something and then we wonder what happens next. We closed 5th to 15th. Now, I don't know where the kids are going for beaches. I can tell you the governor was acutely concerned about it because he's seen across the state the issues. We have beaches behind hotels, we have public beaches, and then we're right next to other beaches like in Surfside and obviously Hallover. So I don't know if those beaches are going to become so overcrowded that they are either an attractive nuisance or they are or there's too much crowding going on or they're attracting too many people because there's no other game in town. I think that's what you have to watch next. I'll say this, though. We've sort of been treating the beaches like parks in a sense that they're not a bad place to practice social distancing, but that may change very rapidly. So I guess that, I think, is going to be the next decision, and I think we should be aware of that. But I don't have an answer yet because I think we have to see how the new normal impacts those beaches and if they're filled with hundreds of thousands of college kids looking for something to do, then we may have to do something.
Well, Mayor, if you remember, commissioners, one of the things we included in the order yesterday, and we talked about yesterday morning on the call, was to limit gatherings to 10 people, even on the beaches now, to give the police the power that if groups now are congregating somewhere else. So, for example, South Point is an area that high school kids love to come to from across the county, to give them the power to be able to disperse crowds. I will tell you we've heard, and I won't mention names, from a couple of cities who are reaching out to the governor asking him to close the beaches because the kids are going there now, apparently. So,
well, there may be too many kids. I mean, honestly, I don't know. It's a nice thing to say, disperse in crowds of 10, but if there's 50,000, I don't know how you police that. And at some point, and by the way, I think we have the authority now to just close it if we want to. So, I mean, that's in the toolkit right now. So if in the middle of the day or early in the morning, one of your guys says, we got 10,000 people on this beach,
Governor's order included that power.
Jimmy can say, tell them to go home or find another beach. Yeah.
Mayor, thank you. I think it's clear as day now from a public health issue that social distancing, to some extent, really social isolation, is what we're supposed to do. And I think it's fair to say that we're hearing that not everyone in the country necessarily is practicing that way. So I start with the premise that that's what we need to do. And I guess the mayor teed up beaches. Maybe that's the right one to be talking about. And Jimmy, maybe there are others. But to me, it seems clear as day at this moment, any space where we're having that take place is a ripe candidate for us to change policy sooner rather than later. Are there other areas? Is the beach top? If you had to rattle off a couple others that you are at least considering that there's too much social interaction that we could try and address, what would they be?
There's a couple residents who've reached out concerned about some religious institutions that are still having large meetings. Most of them are practicing a social distance. They're either not meeting, not having services. But I know there's a few that aren't, and I know I've gotten a couple of emails about that. We're urging, but we've not got to the point of ordering. I'm not aware of any other places, but I guess, now that today is the first day of, the closures, I guess we'll see where now people go because there's no more sidewalk cafes, there's no more. So today is a good day to observe, and we'll have folks out there observing where are the new hotspots. And we will, and probably on tomorrow morning's call, we may talk about if Lincoln Road now is a hotspot of people just hanging out, we're going to monitor that carefully today now that we have sort of the new normal.
But to be clear, at 1 o'clock today, if Chief says to you, it's too crowded, you don't need us. You can just say, just close the beach,
Understood. Yeah. Understood.
But let us know.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay, you. I'm still calling on you.
Okay. I, uh,
I mentioned this in my opening remarks, and I'm glad Commissioner Richardson brought it up as well. And I think it's a conversation about potential additional curfews, how we're going to handle our causeway. We just need to be ready to the extent we get there. Hopefully we don't. Hopefully they're just conversations. But I think the measure should be literally in place at a go, you know, in your consultations with Chief Clements. And the problem is, again, hopefully it doesn't happen here, but we've seen in San Francisco multiple counties literally shut down. Washington State, New York State is doing it. Key Biscayne has put in a serious measures. Whole countries, Italy, France, Israel, they've taken these measures already. So, again, I just think we just need to be ready at the go. What do we do about our causeways? Do we have checkpoints? Do we have people prove they either live here or they're working here? I mean, whatever it is that we decide in the consultations, whatever curfew measures we would take, what enforcement level would we do? I think we just need to be ready if we need to act.
I mean, to that point, we all got emails and stuff. I just think that's, at this moment, ill-advised. We're not there yet. Think about that, you know, in the context, until we get to a point where the governor has said, you know, complete shutdown of the state, we're not there. Because otherwise, it strikes me as incredibly selfish just to close off Miami Beach. Because then if every municipality throughout the county did that, we are all in this together as a county, as a state, and as a country. And if everyone just starts, you know, isolating as a municipality, then when we need supplies, when we need help from our colleagues across the bay, think about what that would look like. So let's just be mindful of that action. We're not there yet, and if and when we get there, and we might very well get there, then there are ways to do that. But we're not there.
And by the way, so that everybody gets it, I think that we have to respond to events that are going on. So I think we're going to see immediately what these closures have done. We're going to see now whether we still have an issue, and if it continues to escalate where the beaches, I sort of think that we've closed everything else in town. Nobody's going to come here for the parks. They're coming here for the beaches from elsewhere. And, you know, and if they can't go somewhere after that, maybe they won't. But if they are, then we're going to have to do something about it. And to a certain extent, the causeway is perhaps something down the line if other countermeasures haven't sort of, in other words, if we closed our beaches, for instance, in total, I'm not sure why anybody would come to the city. I'm not sure who would be coming over on the causeway. I don't know why they would come here if they can't use the beach, can't go to a restaurant, can't go to a bar, can't go anywhere, and everybody's at home anyway. So I don't know what that would do, but of course everybody's right in the sense that you probably already know the rules. We've done causeway closures before. We've done checkpoints on causeways before. We've done all that, so we sort of know what we can do. And if it needs to be, we can do it. But I think right now we first have to see what all of this has done to the city's general occupancy and social networking to see that we've tamped it down sufficiently to meet what we think are the obligations to keep a healthy city. So anyone else need to – can we –
Yeah, Commissioner Chandler, before maybe we end. Last thought. So I do think when we regroup tomorrow, I think the discussion of beaches, other public places, Jimmy, is appropriate. I also would like maybe you could get, you and Alina could hear from our police chief. What happened today? What are the potential security issues that we should be aware of in this environment? What measures might we put in place from a public safety standpoint?
By the way, Chief knows this. I'm constantly telling him to send me pictures of the beach. I've been, and it's not a bad idea. Maybe late today, if you could have your guy, Ernie, whoever's doing it, take some pictures during the course of the day of the beaches, or have the lifeguards do it, Virgil, if we can do that, so that we can get a sense visually of it. When we were doing this, part of the reason why we moved on Sunday, honestly, is we had our Fort Lauderdale, a lot of this happened so quickly. I called everybody the night before because it really just happened 2 hours earlier. But I had been asking for pictures because I wanted to see what was happening in real time. When I got the pictures, I reached out to Jimmy and one of the other mayors, and I said, I'm going to be recommending we move. I got to call my commissioners and tell them that we're going to implement that. And then because we can't do it, we can do it without the county, but it's very poor form, because because the moment we do it, it has an impact there. So I wanted Jimenez to be, and he's been very available and terrific, frankly. So all that had to happen. But the pictures are very helpful because that gives us a sense of how bad it is or how easy it is. And, you know, so anyway.
Can I take a point of personal privilege before you recess?
Yes, of course.
To wish my wonderful wife and best friend a happy birthday.
Oh, that's right.
And a happy 32nd anniversary of our engagement.
Oh. Happy wow. birthday, Zoe.
Happy birthday.
Happy Zoe. Birthday and happy engagement. All right, with that, good to be ordered.
Mayor?
Yes.
Mayor, this is David again. I just wanted to take a second, and I know you'll sure. all join me on this, in making a special thanks to our first responders. The last few weeks have been really challenging, and I think they've really stepped up, and I know we all can agree that you know, they've done tremendous work, and we just need to say a special thanks to all of them. So thank you.
Thank you. And I think we all echo that. Thank you, guys. Okay, with that, meeting is recessed. Only 2 hours.